If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're right. What's happened?
Just a little bit down, mate.
Why?
Get the guitar.
What? Now?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Can you play a bit of James Blunt?
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Goodbye, Chris Robshaw. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me. Fred, harmonize with me. Goodbye, Chris Robshaw. Goodbye, my friend. Now Show Strictly's done. You're looking for a job again.
You're right, mate. Come on. Cheer up.
I'm just a little bit upset about Chris Robshaw getting off Strictly Come Dancing.
Well, mate,
like, give the guy a break.
Well, mate, he was going to go eventually, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he's got a big rig. Big rigs, it's hard to move around, move your hips. What? I'm just really upset about it because he's a really good guy, okay?
Well, like, what are you going to do on your Saturday nights now? The content throughout the week.
I don't know. I really enjoyed seeing a big rig move around, move his hips. And I'm going to miss his content.
You're going to be absolutely gutted.
I'm sorry, I'm all right.
Talking about big rigs on TV shows, what about your old mate Joe Marler?
I mean... Yeah, he's so kooky.
Is he? Yeah. Are you even enjoying him? Ridiculous little outfits he's wearing.
Wow. That coffee is hot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really hot coffee. Wow. I actually think I just burnt my...
Are you okay?
I burnt my esophagus.
Right, okay. That's quite incredible.
Oh, God, I really need the esophagus for this podcast as well.
Well, should we finish on Marla?
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, Marla, yeah, just so kicky. I mean, I was a bit sad, but then when you say Joe Marla, it just makes you really happy. He's so kooky on that show.
Well, I think we've got distracted. We haven't even properly started the show. So I should say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You're crying.
No, sorry. I'm upset about the Robshaw thing, but it's good to be back. It's so much fun being in a studio now. This is week three.
Okay. Well, we're going to be joined by an absolute legend of the game, Kenny Logan, your old mate.
Yeah.
In a second.
One of my best friends.
But before we get there, I mean, I was looking at the championship rugby table on my way in. Richmond are second from bottom. You still haven't got a game for that. Like, what's going on?
Oh, Fred.
You'd have thought you'd have got a run out.
Yeah, no. And I think if I was fully fit, I would be running out for them. Yeah, Friday night against Ealing, I had that earmarked, bookmarked to play in that game. But look, shoulder is still not right. I've got a little niggle on the knee. And for me, when I go out there, I want to feel 100%.
Okay.
You know, it's like... It's a little bit like when my old boss, Carl Cook, back in the day, when I first met him, he was having affairs willy-nilly, but no one knew, and he was doing really good business.
Yeah.
But near the end, you know, he had the hindrance of his wife knowing, going through a divorce, you know, every little thing in the back of his mind, it was affecting the
Held
way
him back.
He can... Exactly. And well, the thing is, Fred, you know, I am at the later stage of my career.
You are definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is...
You're not going to get a game, are you?
No, I am. Okay. I bloody am, mate. But I want to go out there and be injury-free.
Well, because last week...
And they'll just have to wait.
Because last week you mentioned that you bought a chaperone back with you from Scotland.
Yeah, just before you say that,
because
we're going on to Scotland, I'm actually wearing my new favourite gilet.
Mm.
So this is, if anyone can see, this is top line gilet. Okay, this does a number of things. Okay, firstly, I love wearing a gilet. Any time of the year, winter, autumn, summer, spring.
You're gilet up.
Those are the four seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wear a gilet in every one of those seasons.
Okay.
This gilet, okay, firstly, colour, off grey. A little bit different. It's nice on the quarter zip, right? Read the writing. Read that writing, Clodus.
Dundonald.
Top-notch golf course.
Okay.
So you just think you've never met me before. I sit down for a business meeting. You're thinking straight away, this is a cool gilet. It looks expensive, right?
Yeah.
Then you read Don Donald. This guy plays golf. Straight away, I'm doing business with this guy.
Wow. That was quite powerful.
Yeah.
That was.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was very good.
Yeah.
I do want to say that you did obviously bring the caddy back with you from Scotland.
Oh, Gary. Gary.
Yeah, yeah, Gary. Yeah, yeah. He's living at home with you. You said in the week that you were running out of space at home. You're looking for a new...
Yes.
Is that still going on?
So...
How's your search?
Let me just give you the setup.
Yeah.
Okay. For a while, it was just me in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Then along came my daughter, Johnny Jono. Had to get a nanny. There were three of us. Recently went up to Scotland, played Trump Turnberry. Don't worry, £1,000 to play. I played it.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally, everyone up there has never heard of a recession. It's a wonderful place. And I had a caddy there called Gary. Really nice guy. Interesting fact about Gary, he only has one tooth.
Wow.
Very hard to understand him, but really good guy. Knows his golf. And the more we spent time together, he knows my game. Not just my golf game, just my game in general.
Mm-hmm.
The way I like to operate on the tubes, on the common, in the bars, in the gym. He's just with me all the time. He's not here with me today. He would not be good in a podcast environment because, like I said, you don't understand what he said.
Yeah.
Gary came back with me and is now living with us. It is a tight squeeze, and I probably do either need two things: to move house, which I can, got a really high basic salary. I could do that, but that could be unsettling for little Johnny Jono.
Yeah.
We don't want her unsettled. She's got a hell of a temper.
The other option?
Find Gary a little place around the corner.
Okay.
So what I thought we'd do is we'd call an estate agent in Clapham area and find out.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's get it going. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Ooh.
Good afternoon,
Chesterton.
Oliver speaking.
Oh, hi, Oliver. It's Archie Curzon here. Just quickly calling in. Just want to get in contact with someone regarding the rental market. Is there someone I could speak to just in regards to the rental market and just get some insight in terms of the rental market?
What sort of insight are you looking for, I suppose?
Well,
to a landlord or?
No, just from yourselves. I'm looking for a 1/2-bed property to rent for someone who's living with me at the moment, who's part of my staff. And I just wanted to find out how buoyant the market was, what kind of numbers I'd be looking at, and just some general insight.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, we are now sort of approaching a quiet time of year for the rental market.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That being said, we've certainly got a couple of one-bed options available. What sort of locations are you hoping to be in?
For me, it's got to be Clapham. Just for... convenience, ideally by the common. That would be good. I mean, it's not for me, but I'd like this person to be near me. He's sort of a caddy for me in life.
Right.
If that makes sense. He was originally, it's quite a complicated story, but he was a caddy I met on a golf course up in Scotland, Trump Turnberry. I don't know if you heard it, playing Robert the Bruce. Wonderful.
Yeah.
18-hole track. Phenomenal. Tough conditions. You definitely need a rescue cable too. And anyway, met this guy, Gary. He's come back. He's living with me and my family, but just a tight squeeze. So looking to move him into a 1/2-bedder in the Clapham area so I can be in contact with him if I need him for various things. You know, he does caddy for me on the common, on the tube, in the gym. Just wondering if I could put him somewhere close. I'm Clapham South, between Clapham South and Clapham Common. Really lovely location. Yeah. Very near the Aberville Road. Wonderful gales there. They do this phenomenal little tiny salmon baguette, which I do enjoy. Have you ever had one of those?
Not the salmon, no. I can't say, but the girls is very nice. Yeah.
Oliver, well, look, if we do this, if we do this deal, let's 100% go and have a little salmon baguette in Gales. So yeah, just give me my options. Price wise, one or one bed. He's a keen. He likes to work out. So if there was a gym nearby or in the property, that would be wonderful. Price is not a problem. I do quite well.
Okay.
And I invested in Bitcoin early days.
Happy days. What year did you get in?
2012.
Wow. Yeah.
12. Wow. It's a really good year. Really good year, 2012. Yeah. Yeah. Just starting out in the city. That was the good year. That was when my dad was paying my rent and I was just cash free. I had a lot of disposable income and then just saw an opportunity and took it. And I think, you know, whatever you take away from this call, Oliver, life is about opportunities and you've got to bloody take them with two hands. I'm giving you an opportunity to make some cashish in the quiet time. Let's deliver. And there's a tiny little salmon baguette in it for you.
Sounds good to me. Chuck a Bitcoin in as well. We've got a deal.
Seriously, do you play golf?
I attempt to.
You play golf. Okay, golf. Okay, cool. Well, let's do this. You give me a rundown of the properties. Probably best to email me now because I'm about to go into Zoom. But if it goes well, why don't we do some golf? Play a bit of golf. 18 holes golf, 9 holes golf. Then maybe grab a tiny salmon baguette and talk Bitcoin. Yeah. I can definitely give you some insights to the market.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Do you want to take my email address?
Yes, please. What's the best
okay.
one for you?
Yeah, it's Archie. That's A for anarchist.
Yeah.
R for rambunctious. C for chassis. H for hi there, how you doing? I for igloo. E for Emma, _ Curzon. You probably know how that's spelled. C-U-R-Z-O-N, legend name. .bicep91@hotmail.co.uk.
Perfect. Okay, cool. I'll get some options over to you. Sort of ballpark, what budget are you working with?
There is no ballpark. Whatever you got, fella. Fine. Whatever you got. I mean, this is a real opportunity. Take it with two hands. Just one thing, mate. Are you on LinkedIn?
I am, yeah.
Well, let's bloody connect and we'll go from there.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Love and champagne, mate. Love and champagne.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers.
Okay. Actually, see you later. Bye.
That was bloody impressive, Arch. So we are now joined by Scottish legend, whether he's scoring tries at Murrayfield, dancing his way through Strictly, or raising millions for incredible causes. He's one of your best mates, boys. Mr. Kenny Logan.
How are you, sir?
Come on.
How are we?
Kenny,
this is very special.
Yeah, this is it. We're moving up in the world.
Oh, yes. Should I turn my phone off?
Keep it on. You need to take calls. We've just
look
made
at
a
you, McDonald's, eh?
There you go.
What did I say? You said it would have that effect.
Yeah.
This is a new gilet that I'm sort of testing out, and it's doing wonders. Well, you can.
Are you sweating?
A little bit, yeah. I'm going to take it off, Dan. I'm taking
it
off. Well, I just had a very punchy phone call with an estate agent.
Yeah, it went down very, really very well though. Kenny, can I quickly say, before we get into the chat, you guys are mates. We're going to get into it all.
One of my best friends.
You lasted 7 weeks on Strictly.
Yeah.
Whoa.
9 weeks.
9 weeks.
The first 2 weeks are like fate weeks, aren't they?
Well, you're counting them, are you?
Okay, fine. You lasted 9 weeks. Even better.
That's that. I meant you only lasted a week then, if that's the case.
Okay, Chris Robshaw lasted two.
Two weeks. What are it's hard work.
Are you heartbroken to see him go? Archie was in tears before the show.
I was really upset.
Yeah, I was quite upset myself. The first week, I was in the dance-off. And then I didn't go in the dance-off for another 8 weeks. And I noticed he was doing quite a lot of stuff as an outside, because you've got to get your name out there.
Yeah.
And if you're a bit of a star outside of it, you can live off that. But if you're not as well-known, but he was an England captain. Maybe not enough
people forget
people
that.
Watching.
It wasn't a great year, was it? 2015.
The older niche market. I realized really quickly, my niche market was 50 to 100
years old people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah,
very clever. Well, it's
50 to 60. So it's 50 to 60 women.
I don't think many men voted for me, but being Scottish also helped. You know.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And you're a charming guy.
And I wore the kilt week three. God. It was like that. That's me in for 3 weeks.
Mate, come on.
I'm just devastated. Robbo won't be doing those reels because they've been really, so really good, haven't they? I've enjoyed
them. Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it.
And it's really nice to see that side of him.
It's really hard dancing with these ugly women too.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's beautiful, amazing. We're talking about beautiful women.
Probably the one I do. Is that you're going to ask me that?
No,
probably the one I do.
I wasn't going to ask.
If I was going to ask, if they were. To ask me.
I wasn't going to ask you that. I was going to say, talking about beautiful women, Gabby is now doing Match of the Day every Saturday. So how are you spending your Saturdays? I mean, has Archie been inviting you over to Clapham?
Not yet. We're talking about going out to Clapham.
Yeah. Because both of you must be just like by yourselves.
Well, I've got my daughter and the nanny.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But I mean, my daughter does go to bed at like 7. So.
What's the nanny every time she got bed?
Weirdly, she goes to bed at the same time. Yeah.
As the...
Pardon?
Same time as you.
No, I stay up. I've said to her many times, The other night I got back, I was pretty boozy from a client thing, and I got out a nice bottle of red, and I just, I actually thought I looked quite sort of inviting. I had all my shirt buttons undone.
Nice.
And I just said, do you fancy having a drink downstairs? And she just come down to get water. She was like, no.
She's devastated.
I said, I keep saying to her, come and sleep in the same bed as me. Because it's good for
in a non-creepy way.
No, of course. Look, I slept in beds with all my mates. I'd sleep in bed with Kenny.
Yeah. I went on a sailing trip and slept in the same bed as one of my mates last night. Jesus Christ. It was awkward.
You said you slept in the same bed as James Norbert once, didn't you?
James Norbert.
Sorry, so James Nesbitt, sorry.
James Nesbitt. Yeah. Slept in a dormitory with James Nesbitt on the bike ride.
The bike ride.
Yeah. That was
first
the
one or second one?
The first one. First one. Over to France, yeah.
No, France, for the Ireland game.
You've got a great relationship with your son, Reuben.
Yeah.
Professional rugby player.
Yeah.
Now, Archie's obviously misses his father dreadfully. It must be quite hard for you to see one of your great mates be a great father figure, his son be a professional rugby player, basically everything you always dreamt of being.
Yeah. Well, I am a professional rugby player. Right. You forget that. Richmond is a professional team.
But you haven't been selected yet for even the match.
I'm injured, mate.
Okay. What injury have you got?
It's quite hard.
Broken heart?
No, I've got, that's one thing. But now I've got a little niggle in the shoulder. I'm normally doing 32s on both.
On both.
So 64, like for five.
Mm.
And at the moment, I'm only managing, on this one, I do 42, 44. This one, it's just not right.
Do you think you're out for the season? Sounds like a bad one.
I think I'll be there or thereabouts. I'm hoping to come back. I'll be honest with you, I've got one game penciled in. What London Scottish. I don't care if I'm fit or not.
I played that game.
Did you really? For London Scottish?
Yeah. Came out of retirement for it.
Right.
Against Richmond.
Did you really?
And Bobby Skinstad played, actually.
Oh. For Richmond? Richmond.
Friend of the show.
And then Bobby then won the World Cup after that.
Oh.
Did he really?
Yeah.
But what I find fascinating about Richmond, just talking about that, spending time there, it's amazing, that club. Because that's like a real rugby club. Yeah. And it's just sort of, I don't know where it will go, though. Where can you take a club like that? Because they can't.
I think they're very happy to be where they are, aren't they?
Mm.
They're happy to be
champs.
Championship club.
That's good for them.
Yeah,
I think
they're also relegated.
That's what the impression I got when I got in there.
How are they getting on?
Not well. I haven't been able to play. And
Do you think they're missing you?
Well, I came in and I did say to the boys, I said, "Listen, boys, I'm the Sherpa. We've got a mountain to climb. Get on my back. I'm taking you to the top." Yeah.
And they're at the bottom of the league, aren't
well, because I haven't played.
Sherpa's not in yet.
Yeah.
Half these guys are doing like IT sales and then turning up on the Tuesday.
Yeah, that's hard.
I've said to Jim Dara, who's the chairman.
How's your relationship? I see it's been quite.
What I don't like is this recent series. He's taking a lot of limelight. I've had to have a word with him and say, just calm down. But I said, can we just make these guys all professional? Let's get them like six-figure salaries and just let's get our way up to the championship. Yeah. It would be devastating to see a club like Ealing in the Premiership. I mean, Ealing's like a, what is that area? Who goes out in Ealing?
Don't know.
People go, successful people come to Richmond.
Well, I'm guessing when you played for Wasps, did you used to live in Ealing back in the day?
Yeah, we had Ealing. We were trained Ealing,
yeah.
Oh. But we were trained there.
Wasps is a legendary club.
Yeah, we were trained there.
I want to talk about Wasps in a second, but first, can we please talk about the wonderful Lewis Moody? Because obviously you've done so much work, raised millions for M&D and other great charities. Both of you have, actually, aren't you?
Well, a small contribution.
No, you've been
a big part.
You've helped a lot.
We had Ollie Barkley on the show last week, another great friend of Lewis's. It's just tragic, he was saying, and also tragic to see now so many of that generation start to fall.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't process it when I saw it. I was sort of, my form has gone mental. People just couldn't, and I was looking. I'm dyslexic, so I'm looking, thinking, "Please tell me this is wrong."
Yeah.
And Gabby's going, "No, he's got M&D." I was just, and I've known Lewis, played against him. He's one of these great guys. I mean, why has it happened to the great guys? I just don't understand it. But he's an unbelievable character. I spoke to him this week, and he says, "I'm going to fight this. I'm going to, take everything as he sees it, and he knows how brutal the disease is because he's seen it unfold through, Rob Burrows and Ed Slater and also Doddy. So he knows it's in front of him, and, it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And we've got to try and keep doing what we're doing. He did say to me when Doddy was diagnosed, they said there's no hope. And now they've said there is hope. So that he feels there is hope they can find something in the next 5-10 years. But when Doddy was alive, it was like, there's no chance. There's nothing going to help you.
But just because some people might not be aware of the disease, it does move at different rates, right? It can go slower for some people. Like there's a guy on the
on the bike ride that we did in the summer.
He diagnosed the same time as Donnie.
Yeah, and it was cycling on the trip, right?
He was cycling, yeah. And he's qualifying for the Paralympics.
Wow.
Snowboarding, first person to do it with M&D.
Wow.
So his is quite slow.
Okay.
Dodie's was 6 years, which was quite slow. I think Rob Burrow's like 4 years.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine who was a golfer, he contacted me about 2 years ago, Scott Stewart, only 18 months, I think.
Jeez.
Sadly, it was literally just falling off a cliff. So it's different ways that the body reacts and the proteins in the brain, how sometimes they sort of say that if it gets in your arms, it's a slower one. And if it's in your throat, it's a quicker one. If it's in your legs, it's sort of middle of the road. So, but we don't know. That's the thing. They're getting more evidence and more research. And the more money we raise, the more research we can provide.
Yeah.
And I guess just because it is a serious thing. But I guess if you're watching this or you're listening to this, a lot of people just wait for a fundraiser to come around to donate, which is obviously a wonderful way to donate. But people can just donate. You don't have to wait, right?
Yeah, you can just go to My Name's Dodie Foundation. And Dodie's Foundation is all research. So they're raising money for research. Some of the other foundations doing a little bit of research, but a lot into looking after people who've got M&D, you know, stair lifts, wet rooms, special cars to so they can get around days out to give family rest.
Yeah.
But we're very much, we give a little bit, but mostly it's all research. You know, Dodie's aim was to find something that he at the start, it was like everybody else's who got a disease like this, how do I find a cure for myself? That was his first thing. And within about 6 months, he realised it was about how can I find a cure for somebody in 10 years or 5 years or 20 years? So it became very quickly that he was doing it for other people. And that was really powerful.
Do you think in your lifetime there will be a cure?
Yes.
Okay. That would be amazing.
I definitely think.
100%.
Okay. I think in the next 10 years, the next 5 years, there's certain things they're doing now with the protein. They can get the protein working outside the body, but they can put things into the protein. It kills it, but if you put it in the body, it would kill you.
Right.
So they've got to try and work out
the balance.
What will keep you alive and what can kill the protein.
Well, Lewis was obviously part of that. Well, he was playing around in 2003 when you were part of that legendary Wasps team.
Yeah.
Just to lighten the mood a bit, because we spoke about it last week with Ollie, you know, we spoke about it again today.
First Robshaw, then that.
I know.
It's a tough one to compute.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
For the brief, honestly.
Well, yeah, well done, Robshaw.
Was that 2003 Wasps team the greatest team you were ever involved in? And secondly, Barclay said that Shawzy was a very naughty boy back in the day. Do you have any recollections?
So was he, by the way.
Ollie. Yeah.
What a loose cannon he was back in the day.
But when you played with Shawzy, I mean...
Oh, Shawzy, right. So, I mean, that team, 2003, Heineken Cup champions, Premiership champions, phenomenal year. Great. I mean, we had about probably 15, 16 internationals, you know, between Ireland, Scotland, Wales, New Zealand, England. With 5 World Cup winners on the team. You know, it was a really strong team. Shawzy was an animal. Shawzy's one of the best rugby players I've ever played with. Like, you know, he's, for a big man, he's skillful. Mm. He could play hard, party hard.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to be in the back in the day, Leopard Lounge, and places like All Bar One. So we'd get vodka Red Bull, he would get a jug. Jeez. Vodka Red Bull, like a jug, 5-litre jug, standing like that. Like a proper man.
But it's like weird because we didn't see that sign of him when we did the live show.
No,
yeah, but he's not like that.
I think he was slightly taken back by what was going unfolding in front of him. I was gyrating a man in front of him, and even he's loose, but that's pretty loose for him.
Yeah.
But he was a phenomenal rugby player.
Yeah, amazing. Do you think he sat behind Mark Johnson?
Yeah,
and he got 86 caps.
Yeah, whatever, right? Well, he hung around long enough. He was sort of the first guy to play, you know,
he played to his 40.
For
too long.
Do you think that will change in rugby? Do you think now people won't go into 40 because it's the
Yeah, I think it's very hard to. I mean, if you look at something like Sexton and maybe even like some of the tens, if you look at Finn Smith, right, he's a young man, right? And you look at Finn Russell. Now Finn Russell is probably what, 6-7 years old, he's just in a 3-year contract with Bath. He's playing the best rugby of his life.
Yeah.
And he puts the tackles in, he puts the hits in. You know, look at Ford, he's up to 35.
Yeah.
You know, these players now, I think when I was young, when I was first played, it was your hobby. Then it became professional.
Yeah.
I never did it for the money. I think now it's a livelihood. So it's really important that they look after themselves, get themselves in good shape, and they can last longer. And if they can last longer, they can get maybe an extra couple of years, because the transition between being a rugby player and the next bit is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why there's so much help in that transition from being, you know, you're going to retire in 2 years' time, but what am I going to do? And those 2 years come really quickly. So you need to help that transition. And that's another big problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is personally why I never went the pro route.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to enjoy the city. And the company I was going to offered me an amazing pension.
Yeah, of course.
And then I've got a private pension pot as well, because you know it's a way to get
you've got to move your money.
Yeah, got to move it now. Yeah. I mean, Rachel Reeves is coming for it.
She's coming for it. She's actually got it.
I put it all in Bermuda in this wonderful. But that's the thing. I've enjoyed both things because I played at quite a high level of rugby, and I could, like, I'm playing Richmond now, but I'm also enjoying the city. And I think that's the difficulty with these rugby guys. Like, I'm going to go and talk to the Barbars. Next week on Monday, they're playing the All Blacks 15. At the GTEC Arena.
Oh, what an arena!
Tickets only £25. I don't know who's doing some sponsorship for that.
Are you getting commission?
maybe. But I'd say, I'm going to say to these guys, look, you know, you're coming in.
They'll give you a game. That could be a good comeback.
Yeah, Rory Lawson said you were going to play for them.
Yeah, but Rory Lawson didn't want to give me it. He was on the committee. He said he didn't want it. He doesn't want to lose his job. Yeah, doesn't want to lose his job. No.
Fair play.
I'm going to say to the Barbers, look, come and enjoy yourself. You're going to get pissed for 4 or 5 days and play a game. I've been doing that for 10 years.
So tell a good Barbers story.
Yeah.
Please. Great. To play for the Barbers is brilliant. Playing international rugby for the Barbers is even better because the big players come in. So we were playing against Ireland. We arrived on the Monday. So Jonah Loma comes in. Walter Little comes in. Delalio. You've got Rob Howley, Jenkins. I was in one wing. Jonah was in the other. And we had, who else was in there? I think Staines in the centre. And we had front rows like Craig Dowd, Trevor Leota. And then we had, who else was in there? Zinzanbrook, right?
First night,
everybody's a wee bit sort of like, there's Jonah. And people talk to me. Suddenly a couple of beers. Oh, that's good. We've been more relaxed. So that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Go to Ireland. Feeling a bit jaggy now. Friday, we play Sunday. So Friday night, we go to the Guinness factory in the afternoon just to see, get pictures taken.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're standing there at the Guinness bar and we've got these beautiful pints of Guinness. And I go, God. But like, we should have won, shouldn't we? So we got pissed there. Absolutely smashed. And the next day, obviously, we didn't drink because I was the day before the game. Went to the game, a 14-0 down after 5 minutes. Yeah. And we're all behind the post. You could taste the beer. You could smell the beer. Everyone's going, and Zinzanbrook just turned around to Jonah. He goes, Jonah, just do something. Just get the ball. Do something. And I'd never seen somebody change a game. He just got 2 or 3 runs. I scored 2 tries off his runs. I'd only 4 men to beat. He'd beat to be 8. You know what I mean? Totally different.
Similar sort of
players. Yes, sort of physique. So I mean, he was unbelievable. And we win the game. And at the end of the game, the Irish boys were so annoyed because we knew we were out in the piss all week. And we've trained. If there's no drink. And you turn up. You can see we're all going behind the posts. They're going, they know we're done. These guys are done. But that is the Barbarians' way.
Oh, that's awesome.
What was Jonah Loma? I never knew you'd ever played with Jonah Loma. Oh, yeah, Jonah Loma.
I think he's on my. I think I've still got him on my Instagram as my picture because he was. I played with him. He's an absolute legend. And that night, Gabby Logan got herself a little bit drunk.
Oh.
And she couldn't walk. Actually, I mean, she shouldn't be saying this publicly, but she was quite young at the time. She couldn't walk, and Jonah carried her home.
Oh really? My God!
20 minutes
coming forward to carry Gabby. That's,
he was only just like that with his finger. Let me just see. I think we've still got. Look, there you go. It's when we played together. Right there. Oh God!
That's a message from Gabby.
No, you can't do that. That's me and Jonah.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! That's awesome. Yeah.
Didn't take my top off because it's a bit bigger than me.
No. What was he like?
You don't mind if I keep your top on.
That's a weird story about Jonah taking Gabby home because a similar thing happened to me, but what? You probably won't know this, but in women's hockey circles, the goalkeeper for the Clapham ladies team is a lady called Sarah. And look, I don't like hockey players like the lads, but the girls are great. They're great crack. And Sarah's represented West of England, really lovely girl. But she's a girl. She can lift a lot. She's a big girl. And one night I actually had too much and she carried me home.
Did she?
Yeah, and it was a real honour. It was a real honour. A bit like Joan Lomer, yeah. I mean, but not for the rugby community.
I think I was a little bit embarrassed in the morning.
Yeah. No,
but you met him in the lift.
I wasn't. I was like really touched because in hockey circles, Sarah's such a big name.
You've got a history of that. In Marseille, on a Haskell's boat, yeah, you ended up with a weightlifter.
Haskell's boat?
Yeah.
Well, no, it was a fake cruise ship. Yeah.
No, I just was thinking. I had a night with a lady who was into powerlifting and it was an education. No, she was strong. I mean, yeah, talk about glute bridges. Wow. Unbelievable.
Kenny, there are some whispers that the Great Wasps are coming back.
Yeah,
You're part of it. What's the latest on that? Is it moving to Kent? Have you tried to get involved for Clapham? Like,
Yeah, we're looking at signing people, so the quicker we see you playing, the better. Yeah. You know,
I'm going to play for Wasps.
Yeah, Wasps are obviously the Chris Hollins, who owns Worcester, also owns Wasps. So Worcester are now back, and it's phenomenal. And the next target is to try and bring Wasps back. We're in talks with it's pretty well known. We're in talks with Kent and Swanley about potential build a new stadium. So we're in that, you know, we hopefully in the next couple of months have some more news on that, maybe the next couple of weeks.
Any exclusives on the Rugby's Pod?
Not
the award-winning Rugby's Pod?
There's no exclusive yet because we don't know the exclusive until I can give you the exclusive. So once I know it, I can tell you, but I don't know it yet.
But Worcester are going pretty well right now.
Worcester has been amazing. And I think it's interesting because before Worcester went down, they maybe had 3,500 season tickets. Now we've got 4,600.
Wow.
They've had three games at home, three have sold out.
Well,
two of them sold out at three, and the last one with 8,000 there.
Jesus.
And in the championship, which is amazing, and the hospitality is sold out. So the fans realise how important it is to have a community and have that rugby club back,
I don't want to talk too much about Worcester. They're not rich.
Would Worcester go back into the champs then?
I don't know. That'll be the next big thing.
Okay.
But Worcester have an opportunity this year to get into Prem.
If you win the league,
then you go into a playoff game.
Yeah.
Ooh, imagine if it's Newcastle. I know. Oh, my days.
Newcastle, that's interesting.
But if it's not capped off next year, it will still be relegated.
I don't know. I don't know. They're talking about changing the Premiership, so I don't know what the story is in that.
Relegation's so good. Surely they've got
relegation is good. I think the two games, I think it's a one-off game.
Yeah.
Make it a one-off game in a decent stadium and say it's a neutral stadium.
Yeah.
You're both coming together.
Yeah.
One's coming down, one's going up. Game on.
Get the rugby guy doing some good stuff.
Yeah, do some side steps.
As
a chairman of a rugby club, though, is it still possible to make money? I mean,
I think the models, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, like from Worcester's point of view, you know, they won't be far away from breaking even.
No.
But they've not got a wage bill of 5-6 million.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for rugby is if you look at last year, something like 31 million quid spent in the Premiership, but two teams took 15 of that.
Yeah.
You know, so some clubs are losing 500,000, some losing 1 million. So the number's getting better.
Yeah.
It's just about
we need Archie Curzon to come
in. Well, no, I was going to say,
I think Richmond is probably the richest club.
No, let's talk after this pub because I'm willing to. I might invest in Wasps. Seems like
really.
Yeah, I think that's the next logical step because with all my knowledge of rugby,
your pensions,
just take that out because it's tax deductible, right?
No, she's got more of that.
Okay,
Rachel's taking some of that.
Yeah, well, what we'll do is I'll split. I'm just going to start investing in different rugby clubs, like Bitcoin, just see which one goes to the top.
I'm going to talk about Sean Edwards and obviously the great Warren Gatland. I mean, you got to play under both.
Yeah.
And Ian McGeachan. You still listen to Ian McGeachan's
speeches? I love Ian McGeachan's
speeches.
Yeah. Speeches are great, aren't they?
Yeah, when I'm having a tough quarter, I'll sit at the end of my bed naked after doing my naked press ups, naked jumping lunges.
Yeah.
And I will just sit there and just listen to Ian McGeachan over and over and over again.
Did you ever hear one of his great speeches?
And then I will, and then if I just in case I'm having a tough quarter as well, and I'm not sleeping, you know, you have those moments with the stress. I listen to, well, a number of things. I listen to the good, the bad, and the rugby books, because they've got multiple coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Just killing it. And then Chris Robshaw's autobiography. But by the way, the one that he dictates, stunning. And
it's good.
Tip to all the kids that are parents out there, because I have my daughter just sometimes.
She loves Ian McGeachan.
Ian McGeachan.
Who is this guy?
To punt this out, but Chris Robshaw to go to sleep.
And don't ask him about the 2015 World Cup.
No, don't.
He gets very upset.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
No, don't.
That wasn't good.
No, but he's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a
great
really guy. Good
not
guy.
Not the best dancer, but a great guy.
No, really not a good dancer.
Or orators, but a lovely
guy. But he's a really good guy.
I mean, he was a bit like a slab.
Yes.
Yes.
And I know how he feels because I have been there.
No, but you need to be able to move.
What about McGeachan though?
Glide.
Come on. You beat South Africa under the great McGeachan.
Yeah, McGeachan is, I'll tell you what Mahican is. He sees the game so well. He's very good at getting the players around him to, he molds them into a game that he wants them to play, but he also makes it feel it's theirs. And that's what Gats was the exact same. Two coaches. But Gats had Sean Edwards behind that, and then Geach and Jim Telfer. And Jim Telfer was the one who would, you know, hit you with a stick when you're in training if you're too high. But if something hits you across the back of the legs, then that, the natural thing is to go high.
Yeah.
So it's hard when you hit you across the stick to keep low.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's actually,
Jim, well, just to hit you in the back, just to tap you, just to make sure.
Well, yeah, my geography teacher, Mr. Matthews, used to hit me on the back of my bottom with a stick, and that kept me low. And now I think, that was when I was like 8 at boarding school. But now I'm thinking, that was because he was trying to teach me how to stay low in rugby.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Even though it was, yeah.
Sometimes I would do nothing wrong. He'd just call me.
Cousin,
in now. And then, you know, it'd be, you know, the tip. We've all been there. Trousers down, bend over.
Even in the 90s?
Even
it was outlawed
in
the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Mahican and, sorry, what about Edwards? Obviously.
Sean Edwards.
Edwards and Gats, any piss-ups with them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sean Edwards, for me, was a guy that coaches you, right? And you just buy into everything he's thinking. His aggression, his everything he thinks about the game, he grabs you and you don't want to let him down. And I remember I was playing against England, and he says to me, "Who are you playing against this week?" I said, "Josh Lucy." So he takes me out on the Wasp pitch, and he's doing some things that Josh will do, and doing some things that, you know, what I can do against Josh, and chasing high balls and all this sort of stuff. And the next day, I walk past the change room, and he's got Josh out doing the exact same against me.
Really?
Yeah, so he'd done a session with me and a session with Josh.
Fucking awesome.
And the biggest compliment at the end of the game playing against England, Josh went, "You're a lot better than I thought you were." I was like, "Cheers, Josh." It's awesome.
Can I ask you a question about all the coaches? Like, you've had Mahican, Jim Telfer, Sean Edwards, Gatland. Now, even as an adult man, do you ever see these guys and you feel you resort to being the rugby player you were? Like, do
Jim
they
Telfer
have
makes me scared.
Yeah.
As soon as you see Jim, I'm like that. Gats, I love Gats because Gats would, if you win, you go out and you enjoy yourself. If you lose, you don't go out, or you sit at home and drink and enjoy yourself. but Gats was, I mean, I remember I went through a phase where I didn't drink for 3 months before the Rugby World Cup, thinking I'm going to get myself really good, really fit. And was raring to go, and Gats, first game I played for Wasps, says, "What are you doing? You're playing terrible. You're not going to get the Wasps team, never mind the Scotland team." I said, "I'm not drinking." He went, "Well, it's not working for you."
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, he says to me, "So you've got to come for a beer." I was like, no. "Just come out." So I had a beer, scored 3 tries that week. And then the following week, he said, "Do you want to meet?" I said, "I'll come for another beer." I scored another 2 tries. And then I realised you just need a drinking buddy. So I went off to the World Cup. Didn't score any tries. No, I'm joking. But he was a great guy. What Gats had, he got, again, maybe it could be better. He did it really well. And Gats won the European with Wasps, and so did Ian Mahican. 2007, I think, Wasps won at the Geach. So he was really good at bringing great players together, right? And what Gats was really good at, the same, but he did it in a different way, right? Gats made the very much that we owned the game, and he helped us drive the bus. But he wanted us to steer it. He wanted us to be the ones driving it. He didn't want to be constantly, it's about me. He wanted us to take a responsibility. So if you take your own responsibility, you're letting yourself down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a coach, he's giving us the wrong tactic. You need to understand, you need to believe how you want to play. If you get that belief, that makes a huge difference.
I think that is the way to create successful teams and humans. I'm trying to teach my daughter now to walk to nursery on her own.
All right, she's 2, 3.
Yeah.
She'll not do it.
I honestly don't know. Kids these days.
But the coaches have a natural lifespan. I mean, Mourinho in football, Eddie Jones in rugby, Gats now that Wales experience.
Eddie Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Jones, football, Eddie Jones. I think you've got to change with the times. If you look at Ian Mahican, he actually did change with the times.
Yeah.
Because he was he was a very young coach, and you could see his game change. And I remember, like, talking back to the speeches, we had just played Italy, and we had not a bad campaign, but we weren't going into Rugby World Cup. And there was a lot of old stuff creeping into the game, like long training sessions, watching too much videos of games. Your mind was just so obsessed by the game, you wouldn't have any free time. And we after a game, we had a couple of beers, and we went, me, Tom Smith, sad Tom, he's not here anymore, and Gregor Townsend, and Brian Redpath, and we went along to speak to Gaetje, say, look, the sessions are getting too long. We're fully professional now. You know, we don't need to be out there for that long. You know, we need to be sharp and really make sure when we're training, our ability to train for 2 or 3 minutes really well, rest really well, and continue to do that is what we need to be doing, rather than have this 2-hour training session and then go, right, we're going to go back out in the afternoon. So, and Jim was falling back into that, what he used to do. And he goes, I'll speak to Jim. And then I said to him, he goes, anything else? And we were like that. And I said, yeah, one other thing, I had a couple of beers, mate. Your team meetings are too long. And he looked at me. I said, they're too long. And Gregor's going, no, don't say a word. I said, you need to make them sharper. You're just repeating yourself. I said, and you're telling us things that you want to hear. Tell us the things that we need.
Beautiful.
And he then went, right. Good. So the next training, the next session, it was like 5 minutes. He turned around, winked at me, and I was like, And then we're going through the World Cup, and I went, bit long that time. So that relationship with somebody who's done all the things in his life that he'd done, he still would listen to players. Yeah. And that is the key to being a good coach.
And it is also the key to being successful in business as well, because times have changed. I mean, you're a businessman.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're back in the day, for instance, if I had something to do when I first started in the city, I mean, I remember my godfather teaching me, you know, if you need an email thing, you know, you just go up to receptionist and just give her a smack on the bottom and say, yeah,
get it done.
I'd say, Jennifer, can you just quickly pop a little email off me? And then quickly, you know, they just didn't respond very well to that. And then you had to find another way. Then it was post-it note. Then it was an email. Then it's a voice note. Now it's a TikTok. I just send the girls in and say, little TikTok, 6767. And then I don't know what that means.
No, me neither.
But they get it done. 6767. Can you send me that email? And they do it. So it's just different
get
ways.
With the times. Get
with the times.
Yeah, you've got to move.
I'm a 33-year-old and I still feel very young and very with it. I'm very lucky. I'm sort of capturing that old with the new.
Yeah.
You're very lucky.
You know? You're a bridge between both.
I don't want to harp on about it, but I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate. Just the way the era I was born in, the guy I am, I can get on with all kinds of walks of life.
Yeah. You're very physical.
Yeah, physical.
Quick.
Articulate, credible, personable.
Yeah.
It's not about me.
No, we've only got a certain amount of time in the studio, so come on.
Yeah, okay. What about Kenny?
What was Gregor like then? Because obviously now he's head coach. There's been pressure on him ever since he started, even though he's done pretty well.
Yeah. I think it's also hard. Like, you're up against Nate. If you look at England, they've got so many rugby players. Mm. They could probably put two teams out and do really well.
Did you see that guy this weekend? We were talking about that. He was insane for Saracens.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, but they've got so many good players. Yeah. I mean, and they also put in, I know we're talking McGregor, but they put in Lee Blackett, who's great, ex-Wasp coach. Wasp, when he was coaching, he played rugby. I think the England back division this year will be phenomenal. So I think from Gregor's point of view, we haven't got as big a pool, right? So we've got to try and get the best that we've got. And the biggest thing, I think what we've struggled with is the impact of our benches. Some can come on and make impact, but you need that impact to come on off the bench and lift the team. I think sometimes we just keep it at the same level.
Mm.
And if we do lift it, it's not consistent enough. It's once in every 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But it's a hard job.
But what's Gregor like as a bloke?
Great guy.
He looks quite terrifying in the box, but is he fun?
He's great fun. I mean, he's not as loose as he used to be.
No, he used to be loose as
He was pretty loose. Yeah, we used to have many team meetings, we had one before we played Italy. We were told we weren't allowed to go out. It's quite funny. I'm going to say anyway. We're told we weren't allowed to go out, and there's me, Greg, and all that. So we're just going out. And the next morning, Jim Telford pulled the senior team in. And we're all out. He goes, right, some of the boys are out last night. We're like, no. Because they're out. I'm going to find who they are. And there's me, Brushy, Brian Redpath, Tom Smith, and Gregor. We'll find out. Don't you worry, we'll find out, Jim. You find out. And he kept saying, nobody's coming clean.
That's so good.
Scotland have never beaten New Zealand in history, which is crazy to think.
We did have a 15-16, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Stuart Hogg.
Yeah, Stuart Hogg nearly lost.
Stuart Hogg almost got in the corner. Yeah. The only person could have caught him that day.
Well, you guys are playing
Hoggy. No, I speak to him a little bit on Instagram. Yeah. He's a good guy.
Friend of the show, Hoggy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously, Scotland are playing them, I think, the second weekend of the Autumn Nations Cup.
Is there a chance?
Is there?
I think the gap's a lot closer than it used to be.
Yeah.
Because of course there's a chance. I mean, we've got to beat them at some stage, I hope. Yeah. I think the confidence that a lot of players come off the back of their lines, and some players who might not get in the team, even though they're relying 3 or 4 months ago, the people coming in, and obviously Glasgow's success is really important. But like how Finn does well. I mean, if you watch Finn at the weekend, I mean, he's brilliant to watch. God, he's just a magician.
Yeah.
Right? He's great to watch. He sees the game like Paul Gascoigne. He sees it 2 or 3 seconds in front of everybody else. And he moves you into position. He does his back flips. He doesn't get caught with the ball much. So if we can work on what he can give to the team, but if we can get the other players around him, and up front, probably we lack a little bit more. Again, the people who come off the bench need to be as good or better than the ones.
But what is going to happen? I know we're to stop time, but just what is going to happen with Scotland in terms of the what's coming up? Because, and I know you might not have the answer, but when I went to Scotland a couple of weeks ago, and what struck me is like that when you go to Scotland, Ireland, Wales, you get like it means so much than the country. Whereas England, I'm not sure we have that. You don't have that.
It's a small nation, right? And there's only 5 million people there. So the rugby numbers aren't anywhere near the 50 million, 60 million England have got.
But is there someone coming out? I know there's in the under 21s.
Under 20s, but he's under miles 20. Away. Yeah. But the point is that there's a lot of players coming up, but the quality of the England players coming up is very good. And they've got a lot of them, right? And Wales now are going through that period. And that's the thing you've got to make. When your team's, it's like business. When your team's doing well, you're like this.
Okay.
When your team's doing well, that's when you've got to worry about your business. When your team's struggling, everybody's hands at pump. It's trying to get the business going again or get things moving. Now, where Wales are at the moment, that's what they are. They're trying to get things moving. But underneath, there's nothing coming through. You've got to look when you're doing well. That's how you inspire the players. And we've got to really work hard on the young kids and inspire them so as many as we can to get these players coming through. And if you ignore that, we could fall in the Welsh position.
Is there an element, in all seriousness, that they are looking at some of the kids coming to England, and because there's so many, some naturally just won't get selected, and they're going like, is your grandmother...
Yeah, of course they are. I mean, Jason Robertson was Scottish. His mum was Scottish, you know. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, he's made a big mistake, didn't
he? Yeah, yeah,
he could have got the wooden spoon that season.
I've actually got, because I went up to Trump Turnberry the other week and I brought back the caddy. He's living with me, Gary.
Gary, lovely guy,
a really nice guy.
Looking for a house.
And we're looking for a house for him now. He's living with me, it's too much. He's a lovely bloke. Don't understand a word he's saying. He's got one tooth, Sports Celtic. But my God, he knows his golf. And he's been so handy. He's been so helpful. Not just on the golf course. And actually, he's been a caddy for me in life.
Has he?
Yeah. You know, he'll walk 10 yards ahead of me and just make sure everything's good there.
Oh.
But and actually, just
did
really
he ever lose a ball?
No, never lost a ball. He's got eyes like a hawk.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that's really handy. Saturday night, I was in a bar, saw this absolutely stunning woman.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a number 32, packed. Didn't know where she'd gone. Mm-hmm. Gary was with me. Found
bang.
Her. Yeah, found her. And I managed to get her number and her LinkedIn details. She was married, unfortunately. So we're just going to meet for a coffee. but yeah, no, really good guy. Really good guy. And I mean, I don't understand what he's saying, but he's been really helpful around the house. I've got to say, and he's a big listener. He's a big fan of you. So he'll be listening this week.
Excellent. Yeah,
you played 70 times for Scotland, right? Mm-hmm. Who was the worst roommate? We always ask. You must have had some absolute rotters over the years. Any
Tom Smith.
Go on.
Because he used to sleepwalk at night, and one night he was trying to strangle me.
Wow.
Yeah, he was over the top of me. Like that.
I dated a woman like that.
Did you?
Yeah. But she wasn't sleepwalking.
Sadly, Tom's not with us anymore, but Tom was, he used to go up in the night and go like that, scratching himself and go to the window, and they'd come over and look at you. At one stage, I woke up and he was standing, he was looking like that at my face. And I don't know how long he'd been there. I just felt there was something in my face and I woke up like, oh!
Jeez.
He's going, are you all right? Not really, Tom. I says, can you please get away from me? So I went downstairs to the receptionist at 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, I need a new room. She was fully booked. I went, I'm living with Tom Smith. He went, here's a key. We always have a spare room because every week there's somebody always doing the exact same. Can't live with him.
Fucking
he's seemingly mental. He wasn't mental. But he was another great man, by the way.
Yeah, what an absolute legend of the game. But that's insane.
Josh Lucy, he was a bad roommate. She's
really?
Walking around naked all the time. So Josh,
is he a good lad?
Josh is a great lad.
Yeah, good guy.
Great lad.
Yeah.
Great
boy. Okay.
I've known Josh for a long, long time, 20 odd years. But I said, Josh, put your clothes on. Like, I mean, he looks great.
Yeah. I do that.
He's got a great body on him.
Beautiful, yeah,
I'm like that. Come on, Jim.
If you've got it,
you're turning me, big guy.
Any little bit of sun, if I'm on the common and I'm even like just walking around, if there's a bit of sun, I get my top off. Because I'm just like...
Even with the work for the MPF?
Yeah, for what? The Micropenis Foundation. I'm not taking my trousers off.
Oh, right.
And that work I'm doing is not for me. I'm just an ambassador. I do not have a... Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, by the way. Nothing
you don't
wrong
have
having
one.
A micropenis.
No, they just decided you'd be the ambassador.
I don't want to answer that because I don't... That could steam it back. It's not fair. Yeah, and I don't... Look, it's... Whatever it is, there is a community out there that needs my help, and I'm on a WhatsApp group with a number of people with a micropenis.
Okay.
And I don't want to think that if I say something, it's bad having a micropenis. Yeah, it is not funny.
Okay. Before we get into chat, just a quick one.
You should see, I mean, don't put this on camera. Tiny little thing. It's really funny. It all works. Things come out of it.
Really?
It's amazing. But they have to, it's more like dry humping. And that's one thing I've helped them with because at school, I was one of the best. Where you put your belt buckle. That's the key.
Oh, so you sort of like nip it.
Yeah. So good. That's it. Yeah.
Excellent.
Sorry.
You should play for the Lions. Was that one of your biggest frustrations?
Didn't play for the Lions.
No, you should have.
I should have. Listen, I'd love to have, I'd love to have had that sort of. I know they understand of the Lions because you hear the boys talking about it, but I was just unlucky in two tours, but that was, you know. I'd have made it easier if I'd played a lot better, right? If I'd played a lot better that season.
Yes.
I think the coach...
You let yourself down.
The selection was biased, in my view.
No, I don't know. But, I mean, listen, there's a lot of...
Who got selected instead of you?
So, I'll tell you what did happen in 97. So, I didn't make the squad. I knew it was close because Gates was talking to me. And then I was meant to go on the Scotland tour to South Africa.
Mm.
And I was in the Scotland tour. I was going to South Africa. And then my back was a bit sore. And that's why I was struggling to play games because you had to play back in the day. You had to play that week. And I was struggling. I didn't play, and I knew that was a bit of dodgy. But my back was like 2 weeks away from getting better. I was like, it's stupid, just coming back. But now I should just have come back, and I should have went on the tour. And what happened was, and the tour was picked, ready to go. And about a week later, I thought, I'm just not going to go. Tony Stanger went instead of me. Within a week, he was on the squad.
Fucking
the Lions.
Always going tour.
Always going tour. And I remember Zach saying with. Paul Sackey, he didn't get picked in the Lions. I said, Sackey, you got to go on the tour because somebody will get injured and it haunted me. You've got to go on the tour. Yeah. And even though you're going to feel bad about it and you think, don't throw toys at the pram. And maybe I threw my toys at the pram, which is a bit stupid. But he went on tour and he phoned me and goes, didn't get a call. But you were there to get the call. It's a difference.
Yeah.
But I just don't like rugby. I like going out, Kenny.
let's get some chat on our chat, starting with Gavin Hastings.
Yeah.
Chat.
Slow.
You've got to be brutal. Chat or no chat? Gavin Hastings.
Chat.
Scott Hastings.
Zero chat.
Gregor Townsend.
Good chat.
Chris Patterson.
Not bad chat.
Brian Redpath.
Good chat.
Lawrence Delalier.
Thinks he's got good chat.
Josh Lucy.
Not bad chat.
Alex King.
Great chat.
Phil Greening.
Low chat.
Phil Vickery.
Cam chat.
And Simon Shaw.
Legend.
Fair play. So Alex King.
Good chat.
Really?
See him next week.
Kingy.
Do you want to play golf next week?
Yeah, I do. Actually.
That was a business deal.
28th.
I can't.
Oh, you can't? I already asked you.
No, I can't.
I didn't ask you.
Yeah, but I can't.
Because Foxy's going to play.
Is he really?
He can't either.
Foxy. Did I ask you that? Foxy's not, I'm meant to be doing a charity dinner with him, but he's being a bit...
Is that the one you asked him to do?
No, I never asked him to do it. That's the one we did for the ball.
The ball. Can you not do it?
Don't want to say anything, but me and Foxy raised more money than Johnny. A private clicking, private kicking clinic with Johnny Wilkinson got less bid. Got a lower bid than me and gave lunch. Me and Foxy.
Well,
has it gone to my head? I put it on my CV. And
what about a private kicking clinic with you?
The thing is, I've got the niggle in the knee at the moment.
Oh, I thought it was your shoulder.
No, the shoulder first, then the knees haven't.
Let's finish off with some clubhouse stories.
Okay, this is a new section. Okay. Normally
Well,
yeah, but we don't normally do it with the guest.
No.
All right.
Like, this is because it's filmed and there's no way of doing it. You're invited into this amazing section.
So this is people when our sort of listeners send in their sort of craziest clubhouse stories.
Thousands.
So starting with this is a quick one from Will Hopkins. Thousands. So on the bus on the way back from a game, we were all smashed, standing in the aisle of the bus, naked, drinking.
For those who don't know the rugby community, that's fair. We do that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then one of the lads
naked in the middle of the bus.
Then one of the lads softly took off one of the other lads' wedding rings when he'd passed out, and then started grabbing his ass and decided to slip the ring up his
Yeah, I've done that a few times. Really? Not with a ring, but with a coin.
Later on, this guy, who was newly married the week before, then shouted, "Fucking hell, lads, I can't find my wedding ring." And we had to explain, "It's up your ass, mate." He didn't believe us until he eventually put his finger up there and retrieved the golden dangle.
Yeah.
Kenny, thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to check.
Thank you so much, guys.
Some you know, news on Wasps, because we want Wasps to come back.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, they went bust the week after Archie trained with them. Lee Blackett that said he was going to sign Archie, and then they went.
That's what happened.
So
it was your fault.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, well, I don't want to say anything, but
Watch this space. I was
got the kiss of death in rugby teams, then fucking Richmond. Thank you so much.
Kenny,
guys,
thank you so thank much. You
please leave your
thank
comment you, on man. Spotify. Please do leave your comments on YouTube, and we'll see you all again next week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.